You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be One of Us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, every once in a while, I meet somebody who tells me that they don't like art films. They're boring. They're pretentious. You know, people walking around just talking about nothing.
They're
and you know what?
So.
You know, I'm like, I always argue with them. I'm just like, no, you're wrong. You've got it completely. You're totally missing the boat here. Let me tell you, we're here to discuss Frankie, a new 2019 American French film by Ira Sachs. And you know what? If you hate French films or foreign films or, you know, art films,
boring films,
this is not the movie I'm going to use to counter your argument, because this might actually prove you right.
Mindy, that is the tagline, I think, for this movie. It's not that bad.
It's not, not that bad. It's in focus.
I enjoyed it much better than everybody else did. Let's just put it that way.
My reaction was very mixed to it, but yeah. we'll get to that.
Anyways. Yeah, before we begin, why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves?
Mindy.
Mandolin.
Marco.
And Frank. Frankie.
All right.
That's the movie we're reviewing.
I was looking forward to having Mindy, Mandy, and Marco and Frank.
Yes.
You know, we're like a vocal group or something now.
Barbershop quartet.
So let me just give you a very brief explanation for what's happening here. Briefly. Frankie is the titular character played by the always wonderful Isabelle Huppert. She is, as we already suspect as the movie opens, she is dying from cancer. And what she has done is, knowing that she has limited time, she has invited her extended family to come join her in this beautiful resort town. I believe it's called Sintra in Portugal. This involves, you know, her husband, her ex-husband, her husband's daughter and her husband, as well as her son from another marriage. And what she has done is...
And her friend from...
And she has invited Marissa Tomei, her friend and hairdresser.
What did she do? You need an extra guest.
Because she is convinced that she can, before she passes away, she wants her son to get married. And she thinks Marissa Tomei would be the perfect choice. And so...
Because she's a famous actress.
Because she's a famous actress, as we're constantly reminded. And, you know, you would think a movie about a famous actress who is dying would be way more dramatic. But... What's interesting about this structurally is that the entire story takes place over a day, and it's almost constructed like French scenes where one character enters, another character comes in, and then they have a conversation. Whether or not you find that interesting is what we're here to find out from you guys. So what do you guys think about this?
As I said, I think I enjoyed this film a lot better than everybody else did. not necessarily because of this the structure, but you know, as you said, you thought it it's a lot less dramatic than you would think. I actually liked that. It felt very real.
The subtleties of it.
The subtleties of it. And the subtleties of the interactions of, like, you know, when you're having, because this whole movie is about endings in various forms, relationships, mm-hmm. endings, deaths. There's a whole bunch of endings, and you know, in a lot of movies, it's usually very dramatic, and there's dramatic music, and there's dramatic heightened emotions. But in real life, it's usually a lot of holding back tears. It's a lot of calm. You know, even in endings, there can be love and care. Like, you know, the mm-hmm. first husband of Frankie.
Wasn't that great?
They ended their relationship because he was gay. And so it's like, there's still a lot of love there. It just, it can't work.
And he's crying for her.
Yeah, and he's crying for her. And so it's like, you know, the big, wild, crazy reactions aren't what happens in real life. So it makes it a lot more genuine when you have this sort of calm discussion about these endings. And I appreciated that it wasn't over the top, which made it more real.
Okay.
Well, no, it stayed grounded, which you got to give it credit for, because it would have been so easy, especially with, you know, such an eclectic cast, to just go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a lot about what's unspoken, coming to peace with the, you know, a lot of your past and
or not.
What I really struggled with almost the lack of exposition. I don't mind having to piece together what people's conflicts are. I think it's more interesting that way. It makes it more of an active movie experience for me. But it just seems like we were just dropped into a bunch of, you know,
miserable
people. Well, vignettes. You know what I mean?
That's very French.
It took me a long time to, well, vignette, as they call it, as the French say. It took me a long time to realize that the Sylvia, who's played by Vinette Robinson, we assume she's Frankie's daughter from another marriage.
Mm.
And we find out that actually she is Brendan Gleeson's daughter from another marriage, you know, and she's also brought her husband and her teenage daughter, who also has a little side plot where she just gets away from the family and goes to the beach and meets a local boy, and maybe not, something happens.
I thought she was like the daughter of the second husband, and the ones that you see are the first and the third.
It was very confusing.
Oh,
but she was Brendan Gleeson.
See, you didn't catch that either.
Okay. She is Frankie's stepdaughter.
Right.
Okay. She's Frankie's stepdaughter.
Yes,
that's why I got that.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I thought there were three husbands, and the first and third were there, but the second wasn't.
Right.
And I thought that she was the kid of the second husband.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right.
No.
You're not the only one to have been confused at that point. It's not until, like, somewhere, you know, three quarters of the way in where somebody refers to her as the stepdaughter, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's Brendan Gleeson's daughter from another marriage. Mm-hmm. And you know,
he tells that story, doesn't he, to clear it up?
Yeah. Like,
so, but that comes out at the very,
very,
the
very
end.
One of the better scenes of the movie, and one of the few that actually like explains like part of the dysfunction of this blended family and why the blended family attempt did not work out. And you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, but you talked about endings, and you're right. There are endings here that it explores, the ending of relationships. In the case of the granddaughter, who, as she points out, she's not really my grandmother. She runs off to the beach and meets a boy. It's kind of, you know, imply that maybe she had something more than just a dip in the ocean.
I believe the term was he gave her a pearl, just like his father gave his mother.
Yeah,
is the Applebee's?
Is that
is the Applebee's?
She
took her to Applebee's. Is that what it takes?
And then she ran.
I thought this was a classier movie than that.
Classier,
right? But that's also the ending of a childhood, for example, or the ending of innocence. You know, there's a lot of weighty themes in here, but and certainly it's beautiful. The environments are gorgeous.
Oh,
there's a lot of focuses on the landscapes,
lovely.
The coast.
The music was wonderful.
And the music, I thought, was quite
and
good.
And Frankie's outfits, I want
oh,
all
my
of
gosh.
Them.
I'm sorry, but why was Isabelle Huppert wearing the wrong shoes in every scene? Like, I'm sorry, those platform shoes should not get you through the forest.
But she can be photographed in anything. I mean that one long sequence with her and Marissa Tomei in the carriage or whatever that was, I could just watch them just like sitting
there. I mean, they were photographed so beautifully.
When they, she was rummaging through, or even walking, there was a lot of walking, yes, which was very symbolic of, like, trying to find what you're looking for and not finding. Yeah. You're still walking. But, like, when she was in the woods, like, I could feel the cool mist of the woods every time when she was in there with all the greenery. It's like, I was in that environment.
I was worried for her ankles in those damn shoes.
Me too. I kept thinking she was gonna, going to die of, you know, exposure lost in the woods from a broken ankle before she dies of cancer. I thought, is that where this is going? Because that's a much more interesting plot than what I'm seeing right here. And you're right that the beautiful, it's beautiful landscape, beautiful architecture. They take great advantage of it.
Yeah.
The problem is the actual framing. You talk about a lot of walking. There is a lot of walking, but there's also a lot of static shots of people walking from one point to another point, which can be fascinating if you're giving me something interesting to look at or something that has emotional resonance. A lot of this felt really stilted in the blocking. All of the dialogue is very naturally delivered.
Oh, God.
But because everybody is like, not everybody, but most people are speaking in a different language. And there's like pages of dialogue in like long single takes. I felt a lot of times like, you know what? This isn't the best take. It's just the one take where everybody got through the dialogue and they just said, print that. Let's move on.
It's also sketchily like written, like haphazardly written, I should say. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just, I think that's what people would say in this type of situation. I think that, you know, if I were sad, I probably would say this. So yeah, sure. My characters are going to say this.
Super awkward though. Some of it is just like these weird. And I realize that when in you're in a stressful situation, your mother is dying, and you're
most poetic.
You've gathered with your brother who you don't particularly like, maybe, or you do. Who knows? And then family awkward situations. Everything's falling apart around you, and so there's a lot of stiff, blank, awkward moments.
But awkward pauses can be dramatically interesting, but it's not.
Awkward in like a.
It felt like we're just getting through the dialogue.
Well, it's also I'll give like a little bit of a pass because, you know, when you're forced to face like, you know, your life or parts of your life that you really aren't that much at peace with, I know I'm not my most poetic and I'm not the best orator in the room, but yeah, there is something about this that's just very, very choppy and just very sort of grasping for words.
Yeah,
like I just did right now, but at least nobody did with that thing I hate when actors can't find, and they, when actors really like improv, they try to do that thing where they just repeat the last thing that they've said.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest pet peeves I've got. And thankfully, at least no one did that in this movie.
Well, at least no one did that in this movie. I mean, there's really a lot of moments like that. And in the blocking, I found so awkward. And the framing, it was like, this was like, if you were, this is worse than community theater blocking. It's like, no. There's some dynamic ways to stage yourself within the frame.
Turn three quarters.
Yeah. And let's match each other. And let's just look at each other in profile and turn around awkwardly and then turn back.
I didn't notice that.
Really
much, although there was one moment with Marissa Tomei where she's talking at the very beginning with the current husband and her hair is covering her face. And as she's talking, it's like, as an actor myself, the first thing's like, no, you always put your hair in a position so that they can see your face because that's important.
Yeah, she was
in
profile too.
Yeah, she was in profile. So it was like her face was covered. Yeah. And that was, I didn't notice the awkward blocking as much as you do, but that was one moment where I'm like, hair.
It just felt stilted.
You notice hair in that type of situation.
So when the credits of this came up, I had no idea what this movie was when we walked in. I went blind.
Okay.
And so
I went with a base summary.
And so I saw Greg Kinnear's name. I saw Marissa Tomei, and I saw
Isabelle Huppert.
Yeah, I saw the people. Brendan Gleeson. Comedy. What's this going to be? And I was like, oh, Greg Kinnear. That could be interesting. Well, no. Greg Kinnear is the most pathetic, sad, boring man in the world in this movie. You're like, everybody hates you.
Yeah, but he works
obvious.
At a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, but he's on the Star Wars movie.
That's a running gag. That's the one running gag is that Marissa Tomei and Greg Kinnear's character just happen to be working in Spain and they've taken some time off because they're working on the latest Star Wars movie. And this is one of the things that makes me think that Ira Sachs is not the most up-to-date guy or just doesn't care about popular cinema at all. Because, you know, the running gag is like the Star Wars movies. And he goes, at one point, Greg Kinnear says, yep, George Lucas has been really good to me. And I'm like, Has anyone told Ira Sachs that George Lucas hasn't had anything to do with a Star Wars film in quite some time?
Well, that's probably how dismissive he is of the whole.
Yeah, it's like,
that's not. I'm above keeping up.
All I have to say is a Star Wars movie, and that'll be a laugh.
His character is one that's very much like, this is the way it should be, and I know people like this. Is okay. This is the way my life is, and it involves you, and we're going to do this.
There's a lot of desperation with this character.
Yes, well, it's the this is the way it's supposed to be, and the blinders are on because it's supposed to be this. And then when it doesn't turn out that way, he's like, "Oh, okay, bye."
And realize I'm sure if you're listening to this, you might be thinking, you know, you haven't really told me much about the plot here, and there really isn't one. This is, and that's not inherently bad. This is kind of a slice of life thing. It's a very simple through line where the family gathers in this town, and they all kind of go on their separate ways. They have their little separate, you know, trips and errands and sightseeing.
Wants them all to meet,
and they're all to meet, like, and apparently, like, on a cliff to look at a sunset. But again, I never really feel anybody, with rare exception, do I feel like anybody really makes a connection with one another, and that may indeed be the point. This kind of feels like really low grade Woody Allen. You know, it's like it's a bunch of really wealthy people in a beautiful locale having, you know, relationship troubles, yet. There isn't that kind of witty dialogue to keep it moving along.
It's an ennui weekend.
And, you know, I'm sure Ira Sachs thought differently, but none of these characters are as fascinating as I think he expects us to find them.
So the one character I found fascinating was Jimmy, played by
Brendan Gleeson.
Yes. Who is
best part of the movie.
In anything he sets his face to. But he was the bright spot in the gloomiest of characters, and he felt like there was hope in his gloom, and he was the only one with any hope in the movie.
Well, he's the only one who everyone seems to agree that he genuinely loves Frankie.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and he's committed to playing that you can tell that, you know, their relationship isn't really about talking a lot or, you know, any big emotional displays. Yet,
or
his
wife is dying and he doesn't know what to do.
And it's clear he's sad. But he at least feels like a real human being.
There's a physical scene between the two of them that is a little long and awkward, but is also, that's probably the sweetest thing in the movie.
Yes.
Because you can see that he really is, he's broken. His life is... Yeah. Wrapped in her, and it's a beautiful little scene.
And I'm sure when they were selling this, they're like, oh, and a Brendan Gleeson sex scene. That's what everybody wants to see.
Well, there was a line in it, because, you know, Frankie isn't given very long. She's got like a year. And he's talking to the first husband, and there's a line that he says, because he's like, you know, you're going to have to move on from this. And he goes, there is no life after Frankie.
No.
And
there's no after Frankie.
There's no after Frankie.
Yeah.
And, you know, that hit very close to home, because holidays are coming up. My mom is stage 5 Alzheimer's. And the second he said that, I thought to my dad. And the things that my dad said about all the things that he wished, you know, all the things that he had planned that he was going to do with mom that he just can't. Because she's not there anymore. And it's just like that. That just made me. It's like everything that he did, I knew his motivation, because it's just like, this is where I live right now.
Yeah.
And this is where my family's living right now. So it's like, I totally got. And I think that's why I enjoyed, in quotation marks, this movie more than everybody else, because it's very sad.
Yeah.
Because my father died this year, and I feel horrible about it, but all that talk of death, and yet this never moved me. So I was like, I've seen those awkward conversations, and no one wants to say what everybody in the room already knows, but, you know, it just, I'm glad that you had an emotional response to it.
It felt like everybody was dealing with, you know, endings, and also dealing with anticipatory grief, which is different than just grief. And it's like, because you're mourning somebody who isn't quite gone.
Yeah.
So it's like you're not allowed to let go. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I got, especially with him, the you're trying to smile for that person because they're not gone yet, but in the same breath they are, and you don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so you're just trying to make a happy vacation because that's what this person wants. but all you want to do is cry, but you can't because they don't want to see you cry.
Yeah.
And it's just like all those conflicting things. So it's like, especially with his journey and to an extent with Frankie's too, is like that, that's what hooked me. It's like, I get it. So I feel like you have to have that in you, like near the surface in order to enjoy the film, because you have to, like, it's a calm catharsis. Mm-hmm. I felt it's not like many things. Catharsis is like overwhelming because this movie is so calm. It felt like a safe way to be cathartic, at least in my opinion.
So if your life is doing really good right now, there's no need for you to see this. Wait until something traumatic is about to happen,
right.
Then check it out and maybe you'll get something out of it.
And one bright point.
Okay.
One more bright point. So the score of this movie,
which
was,
I agree, was and very minimal. That's another thing that sort of distinguishes it.
Beautiful. So that's mm-hmm. Dickon Hinchcliffe, who yeah. was in Tindersticks, if you were a Tindersticks fan.
Okay.
Which is why I'm like, I love this.
You know, a lot of movies like this would lay on the strings. They would lay on the schmaltz.
Yeah, the thing, it's very calm.
They'd play it under the dialogue. That almost never happens. The music, usually when it does appear, is when somebody is just walking against the landscape and you're just kind of... It's one of the few times where I think the movie kind of comes to life, because there's something happening either within or outside of the frame that is energizing that image. Unfortunately, I found that to happen very rarely. I needed something, not music, but just either some more dynamic blocking, some more sensitive framing, or perhaps just some less... just some tighter dialogue. We don't have to everybody talking poetically. I mean, some of the best films I've ever seen feature a bunch of people who can barely talk. And, you know, and yet through their inarticulateness, they still somehow manage to convey something. And everybody here in this movie, with rare exceptions, namely Brendan Gleeson, almost everybody here felt like blanks to me. Like, I don't know what's going on with the son. Do you really care that, you know, the stepdaughter is getting divorced or why their relationship is ending?
Because it's so sketchily written.
Yeah, you know.
It's just the bones what's of something.
What's the impact of the young girl having her little day excursion on the beach with a young boy? How does it tie into anything? And maybe it's not supposed to. If it fit in a conventional three-act structure, I'd say, yeah, this is weak. It's not trying to play that game, and I appreciate that. But I'm rambling too long. Maybe we should start. Maybe because, hey, you know, I can sit and talk and stare and say inarticulate things all day long and then say I'll make a movie out of it. Why don't we go ahead to some final thoughts? Mindy, I'll let you go first.
The most positive review of the evening, I know. Well, as I said, I enjoyed the realness of it. I enjoyed the awkward conversation because it felt genuine, at least to me. It didn't feel like it was stilted. And for those that are going through this type of grief, it hits home. And in all the types of grief, both the divorce, both the ending of the you know, hairdresser relationship, I mean, all of the endings, it feels like people desperately trying to figure out how to deal with it and not knowing how. And I liked the fact that there really wasn't a resolution to any of it at all. As we said, it was very beautiful. I, you know, appreciated how calm it was because that added to the genuine nature of it. I will say you are right that having some more exposition would have helped in many of the character arcs. And the fact that it is a slice, just a moment, I can see why people would be frustrated with
that. It's a collection of short stories.
Yeah, it's a collection of short stories.
You want to read a novel, but you got some short stories instead.
Yeah.
The front and back page off.
Right. And it's like, I can see why people would be frustrated with only having this conversation and not the whole story. Although a part of me is going, well, it is French. Like I said, I do think that this is a great catharsis because it isn't too overpowering. So if you are going through a type of grief like this, you will get it a bit more than those that aren't. So I will give it, I'm going to say 7 stormtroopers on the new Star Wars film out of 10.
Frank?
You know, I'm probably going to give it the second kindest review of the night.
It's not a contest, Frank.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I will be kinder than you, sir.
Oh, you think so?
I will fight you on this. I could be so much kinder than you.
Well, you know,
You'll get no battle from me.
I can see what they were going for. There's a really, really great film which nobody saw. Came out about a decade ago. With Anthony Hopkins and Laura Linney and Charlotte Gainsbourg. That was directed by James Ivory. It was the last Merchant Ivory production. It was called The City of Your Final Destination. And it was based on a novel by Peter Cameron. It's the same sort of like setting and South American setting and all this eclectic cast. But the thing is, those characters were given actual ghosts to wrestle with and really great dialogue, and James Ivory was directing them, so it couldn't lose. But and I was really hoping, based on the strength of this cast, the acclaim that Ira Sachs got for his last film, that we were going to be in for something similar. And it's frustrating because there are times when there are human moments. I got emotional when the ex-husband was pleading with Frankie to drink from the fountain. Yeah, and I thought, oh my god, this man who has had this other life apart from her still has so much love for her that he thinks that he wants her to do this.
Piano song did it for me. Yeah. It's like she's playing this beautiful song, yeah, and he's crying because of the situation. But it's like, yeah, it's a beautiful song. It's a sad song, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it is. It's beautiful. You can keep playing.
But
yeah.
I love that. I love that. There are all small touches here where, you know, you have this really acclaimed actress and, you know, who's celebrated, and she's the most restrained person in the film, when you would think, you know, an actress would be, you know, naturally more, you know, the opposite. At least I do. But, I gotta admit, I got sent a link to this. There was another screening tonight I had to go to, so I begged and pleaded, and I got a link sent to me, and I put off watching it, and I was watching it on my breaks. So I spent my lunch break, both my breaks, a little bit last night to watch this, and I thought, oh my god, this feels so fragmented, this is so PC, I'm totally watching it the wrong way. No, it's the movie. and it's a shame, because there is enough here to make you wish for something more. Everyone's great in it. I really gotta applaud that. You know, I always see Greg Kinnear and Marissa Tomei being used as like the dad or the mom, mm-hmm, or just the function. You know, here they're actually, you know, the director wants to give them something to do, but what he gives them to do isn't really that worthy of them, which is sad because they're both capable actors, especially her. Isabelle Huppert is great, and I love that she, you know, took on this role. I mean, in the same year she went batshit crazy in Greta. But, you know, good actors can only do so much, and here, unfortunately, they can't really do all that much. It's the potential is, it makes me sad. So I gotta give this 7 out of 10 beautifully shot carriage rides.
Mandy?
I realized at one point that I was calculating how many miles I had available to me to fly to Lisbon.
Are you going to meet Greg Kinnear there?
So I'll give it one broken cigarette and a bottle of stale champagne.
Oh my, that was quick and to the point. Pithy even. Okay, you know, wow. Okay, damn. I thought, you know, everyone's going to look at me like the grumpy guy here because I was going to give it the lowest rating. Damn, even I didn't hate it this much. But that's fair. Was that out of 5 or out of 10?
That's out of a pack.
A pack. There's 20. Wow, that's even
that's
lower.
Really low.
That's like half of, that's like a quarter of, wow. I don't want to even do the calculations. Wow. All right. So anyway, obviously, there's a wide range of opinions here, which is usually pretty good. That's usually a sign that a work of art is doing its job. And I look for that in art films. I don't expect everyone to come out of there, you know, with the same opinion, or watching a sort of mainstream film that, you know, is so well engineered, it tells you exactly how you're supposed to feel. I agree with Mindy in that this film isn't holding your hand. It's not telling you what you're supposed to be feeling. You can kind of put it together yourself. I think Frank also brought this up, that, you know, it would have been nice to have a little bit more exposition. It was very hard for me to get invested in these characters because by the time I was starting to, I spent most of the time trying to figure out what their relationships were to one another and what their issues were. So I never really had time to just enjoy them as people. Unfortunately, I didn't find them particularly interesting to begin with. There are obviously some good things to say about this movie, but in my opinion, it needed another pass on the screenplay and maybe a stronger director of photography, and maybe they just needed to go one or two takes more because the takes they got just felt flat and awkwardly staged. So anyway, I can't recommend this film very highly, but maybe you can watch it later when it comes online somewhere. I will give this 5 out of 10 boxes of pastry.
All right. And tax havens in Belgium for some reason.
You know,
that was at the end of the credits. Is like,
that's crazy.
It's a French Portugal production, and yet we want to thank
from
the
an American
tax
director.
We want to thank the tax haven of Belgium. It's like, wait, what?
You know,
what did Belgium have to do with it?
It's really kind of sad when you're wondering what kind of pastries are in there. What, like, what is she eating? Are they like, you know, croissant? You know,
they're like teeny little chocolatey middles.
That was, So now we all found something we can agree on. We all want pastry.